Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 42. Today's date, April 1st, and this is no April Fool's joke. In today's podcast, we will recap the four Elite Eight games over the weekend, and we'll preview the two Final Four matchups set up for this Saturday night. And let's get started with the recap of the first game that was played on Saturday night, and what a performance by the UConn Huskies, taking out Illinois 77-52. And when you look at that score, folks, you're going to think, wow, UConn blew them out the entire way. Folks, that wasn't the case, as UConn struggled mightily in the first half to score, and with Damask hitting a shot with about 1:30 or so left to go in the first half, the score was 23-23. And then the Mike Tyson knockout punch came. A 30-0 run. A run of legends by Dan Hurley's team, in which they completely annihilated Illinois and put them to sleep. It was interesting as you watch the game, especially early on before I get to the run, of the fact that Hawkins was guarding Donovan Clingan. And Donovan Clingan at 7'2". UConn went away from their traditional wing ball screen offense when you roll Donovan Clingan and you rise and you have shooters all over the place. They went to a more of a four out, one in. Four perimeters, Caravan being at stretch four, and Donovan Clingan inside. And they tried to use his size and his girth and strength over Hawkins to score. Excuse me. And what happened was they got off to a good start. Then they kind of got away from their offense a little bit late in the first half. They tried to do more dribble handoff stuff, tried to get Spencer, Tristan Newton going a little bit, and they struggled. Thank goodness for Johnson Diarra, who scored some points in the first half, kind of helped UConn kind of stay afloat, as you will. Then at halftime, there had to be a reinforcement of the talk by Dan Hurley to get the ball inside to the big man. And the big man ended up delivering, having an outstanding performance of 22 points, 10 rebounds, 5 blocks, 3 steals, and an assist. Donovan dominated the game, and it forced Illinois to adjust. Didn't matter. Cam Spencer got going a little bit, getting 11 points. Alex Caravan got going a little bit with 10 points. But you think about it, folks. Castle and Newton combined to go 1-for-12 from the floor, right? Johnson comes off the bench and gets you 10 points, right? So if you could say something about the game, I can say this, folks. I don't think UConn played particularly well offensively. They haven't still shown that complete team, and that's the scary thing about this team. I think they could be better. Illinois, listen, when we got into this situation, we thought, well, UConn has not seen an offense like Illinois. We had it completely wrong, folks. Illinois hadn't seen a defense like this all year in UConn's. When they had two guards in Castle Newton that are long and athletic to make things difficult for Damask and obviously Shannon Jr. But then you bring Diarra off the bench. And really, an Illinois team that's one of the best offensive teams, Brandon Wood did a great job. They struggled. They shot 6-23 from three, 25.4% from the floor. They couldn't score inside. They couldn't get guys going. And besides Damask, if you really look at it, folks, besides Damask, right, the other starters took 37 shots. Do you know how many shots they made? 7. 7 for 37 for the floor. You're not going to beat the defending national champions that way. And UConn moves on to the Final Four. Who are they going to face? Huh. What in the Bear Bryant is going on? Roll Tide. And what a performance they did in an 89-82 win over Clemson. The Clemson team really did a great job of neutralizing the three-point line. I think teams were shooting under 20% combined from three in the first three games. And Alabama really didn't shoot the ball well. Sears took a while to get going. Estrada never really did. But the play of Sears as the game got going and the three-point shot of Alabama reared its head. A team that shoots about 50% of their shots from three did more than that. 36 out of their 62 shots were three-point attempts. 16 of 36, 40.4% from three was Alabama. And obviously Sears, who I'm going to call JB Jr., that's Jalen Brunson Jr., because he plays just like Brunson, was absolutely fantastic with 23 points, shooting 7 out of 14 from three, and hit big shot after big shot. Grant Nelson was at, up in that tournament, didn't play well, 8 points, 7 rebounds, but you got to talk about the play of Nick Pringle. Only gives 7 points and 5.3 rebounds, gave you 16 and 11, six offensive boards, was really, really big for them, and got a lot of big buckets in the second half. And then you got to talk about the guy off the bench. Jaren Stevenson, the 6'11 stretch five, who went for 19 points, 5 out of 8 from three. Between Sears and Johnson, Stevenson, I should say, I'm sorry, they shot a combined 12 for 22 from three. They outdid the entire Clemson team by themselves, who shot 8 of 26. So right there, there's 12-point difference. Alabama wins by 7. Which sets up an interesting matchup in the Final Four with UConn facing Alabama. With UConn right now as an 11.5-point favorite, this team is minus, I think, 200 or just shy of that to win the national championship. And an intriguing storyline that not a lot of people are talking about. When Dan Hurley was the head coach at URI, which he was at before UConn, one of his star players was E.J. Matthews. Do you know what E.J. Matthews' head coach was, or high school coach was? That was Nate Oates. So, interesting matchup here between two guys that have known each other for a long time. And Nate Oates and Dan Hurley. And the one thing you have to look at off the bat is, how are they going to defend Alabama? How are they going to deal with the size? If you look at a guy like a Grant Nelson who gets into foul trouble, Grant Nelson's had a great year, but 6'11", 230, he's given up about, I would say, about 3-4 inches and about 40 pounds of Donovan Clingan. And Grant is not the most aggressive big. Now, he tries to block shots, but this is a whole other animal in Donovan Clingan, who's playing outstanding basketball and now talked about by ESPN as being a top 5 pick in the NBA draft. On the flip side, it's going to be about the guard play of Alabama. Can Sears and Estrada get going? Can they create shots? Can Ryland Griffin get going? Those three are going to be the key, right? Can those three score against UConn? I suggest and think that they're going to try and go on whoever Cam Spencer is guarding, because obviously you have two premier defenders in Tristan Newton and Castle. But expect a big game out of DR off the bench from UConn. That's their third defender. He's more of an aggressive, thicker guy. He puts guys in pain. Line is minus 11.5. Intriguing matchup. I think UConn will go on to the national championship game on Monday night. Let's move on to the games on Sunday that took place. Let's start off with an all-time great game between Tennessee and Purdue. With Purdue winning 72-66 and one of the most fantastic duels I've ever seen in the NCAA tournament. Let's start off with Zach Edey. Career high 40 points, 16 rebounds, 13 of 21 from the floor, 14 of 22 from the free throw line. You know what, folks? I'm going to say 14 of 20 from the free throw line because I'm not going to count those last two at the end of the game. Including the air ball. Zach, air ball? Really, bro? But he was really fantastic. One block, and his one block was a signature block in a game. And for a Purdue team that has been, people have been doubting them all year, me being one of them at times. They showed a great, great attention to detail and a focus of getting the ball inside to the big man. They could not deal with him at all. Whatever they wanted to do, when that ball got into the hole, and folks, the hole is the charge circle. Shout out to my old boss, Jody Craig. She used to call that the hole, right? If any time we had a post player with the ball in the hole, they got the ball. Zach Edey lived in the hole. You wanted a righty jump hook, he got you. You wanted a lefty jump hook, he got you. Alley-oop, got you. O-board, got you. Folks, the 7-4 monster did it up and under with the left hand. I mean, what a performance of Zach Edey. And I'll tell you this right now. I know people sitting here and talking all this mess about, oh, he can't play. Zach Edey can play in the NBA. Let's just stop him right now. If Walker Kessler could start in the NBA, and this is no slight to Walker Kessler. If Walker Kessler could start in the NBA, so can Zach Edey. And Zach Edey can be effective in the NBA. Now, they're not asking him to do anything more than go over his left and right shoulder with a jump hook. But you see that guy shoot free throws? He's got a sneaky good shot from 15 feet. If Jonas Valanciunas, basically, guys, he's a bigger version of Jonas Valanciunas. And I think Zach Edey will be a top 20 NBA center within 2 years of in the league. You heard here first. But on the flip side, I got to go to my man Connect 3 because he fired all his bullets. 37 points. Unbelievable performance. 6 of 12 from 3. Started out 4 for 5. Kind of ran out of gas here as he really didn't get help. Well, neither did Zach Edey, but Zach Edey got more help than Dalton Connect did. And Dalton Connect, the transfer out of Southern Illinois, really showed a really good ability to move off the ball, come off the screens, catch and shoot. But the key thing I think in this whole matchup in this game is Laurie Jones. 7 points. Lance Jones, I should say. 7 points. But he started face guarding Connect in the second half and really limited what Connect could do and what a defensive performance. I'm serious, folks. Dalton Connect had 37 points and he had to work his ass off for every point of it. And the job that Lance Jones did in the second half, face guarding him, was absolutely dynamic. He got a couple of fast break points. And then you got to talk about the play of Braden Smith. Steady. 9-7-7, right? Got shots early. Second half really did a great job of facilitating, getting guys shots. And then obviously, Lawyer got going a little bit as of late. 4 of 12 from the floor, going to the basket. And shout out to Matt Painter. After all the demons that he's gone through, he's got this team to their first Final Four in 1980. And who are they going to face? Ho-ho! The best story of the tournament. NC State. And what a performance by NC State. And that 76-64 win over Duke. And when you look at it, you got to go with the DJ-DJ combo. DJ Horn, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And then my boy, the man in the middle, Ficky Smalls, 29 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and is so nimble in the low post. He is a joy to watch. And look at that, folks. Look at that infectious smile of DJ Burns. A guy is just living in the moment. And it's amazing what he talked about. And he said, guys are bought in. They're committed. They're coming on time. They're working their you-know-whats off. I don't think people understand how hard it is to coach in college. You're dealing with 18 to 22-year-old kids. Getting buy-in is important. And an NC State team that's got the most, I think, losses in the history of a team going to the Final Four, they have gotten buy-in. And they have gotten hot at the right time, winners of 9 straight games. DJ, I just talked about DJ Horn, his performance. And it sets up an interesting game come Saturday night between Purdue and NC State. Right now, Lions have Purdue favored by 9.5 points. Remember, folks, this is the early game. Okay, this is a 6:09 start. Alabama, Connecticut, late start. And here's why this is such an intriguing matchup. You have to look at the big men. And a guy like DJ Burns is not seeing a guy like Zach Edey. Well, who has? But I'm going to say this. Zach Edey hasn't seen a guy like DJ Burns. Because as much as Zach Edey is a unicorn in the sport of college basketball, you could say the same thing about DJ Burns. Old school. Back you down. Use your butt. You know, get you off balance. Quickly spin off of you. Change of speeds in a low post. Freakishly strong so he can jump into you and knock you back. It will be an intriguing matchup in the center position between DJ Burns and Zach Edey. But also the guard play is going to be important. The guard play, especially of Purdue, who is one of the best shooting teams in the country from three, but has struggled last game. And if you look at the last two times that Duke played NC State, they shot 5 of 20 from three. If NC State can keep them from shooting well from three and kind of keep ready Zach Edey to like 25 points, NC State could be in this game. This is a tricky game for Purdue. I don't know if they cover the spread, but I think come Saturday night, or Monday night, I should say, a week from today, we're going to be talking about UConn versus Purdue for the national championship. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 42. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. All things sports gambling, pregame, endgame, postgame, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will be shot on Thursday morning to be released Thursday afternoon. We'll get into the NBA. We haven't talked about it in a while. And then we will recap the Elite Eight for the women and preview the women's Final Four. Intriguing matchups tonight. We'll see who wins. I can't wait to watch that LSU game versus Iowa. I'm going right to dinner after this. For my producer, Matt George, Vinny does a great job with the graphics. This has been Coach Young. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.